Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6. We're going to look at those particular verses, and we'll be reading them momentarily. One of my boyhood memories in Cleveland, Ohio, where I was born, was working in the basement of our house with my mom and dad, who were enamored with ceramics. And I remember very well my dad taking a lump of clay and forming a leopard out of that lump of clay. And that was a pretty good job. I was really impressed. I was just a little guy. And the people who saw my dad's work were also impressed with that. And so they suggested that he have a mold made of it. And that's exactly what he did. He had a mold made of that leopard so that it could be reproduced and copies could be made. And I remember after the mold was made, and those of you who know something about ceramics, you use a liquefied type of clay, which is called slip, and you pour it in the mold, and the plaster mold absorbs some of the moisture out of the extremities of that slip so that the form is made inside that mold, and then you can pour out the inside. And that's exactly what was done. And you take the mold apart a little bit later, and there's a leopard there. Well, you can let that dry and use a little bit of sandpaper to smooth it out on the rough edges and put a little bit of glaze on it. And I remember doing that. The leopard's always black. It's the kind of leopard it was, not a spotted one. And fired that in a kiln. We had the kiln in our basement and all of the things that were used. And when the leopard was done, then you could sell it. Of course, that was the ultimate objective, that you sold these pieces to make a little bit of money. And that's what my parents did as kind of a sidelight. And I really enjoyed that. This morning, we're looking at lumps of clay in a little bit different fashion. We're looking at a potter in the Old Testament. And we're looking at pottery through the eyes of Jeremiah the prophet. We're doing this in preparation for our celebration of the Lord's Supper in communion. And we look at Jeremiah chapter 18 and the first six verses. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I shall announce my words to you." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on a wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does? Declares the Lord. Behold, like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." God sends Jeremiah down to a potter's house. And if you do a little bit of research, you'll discover that the potter's house was located in a valley which was right under the wall of Jerusalem, the southern and eastern wall, the southeastern corner of Jerusalem. And it was a steep valley that went down there under Jerusalem. It was called the Valley of Hinnom, or Ben Hinnom. The word Ben means son, like Ben Hur was the son of Hur. This was the Valley of Hinnom, or Ben Hinnom. And in that valley, there was a potter's field, a place where clay, white clay, which was good for making pottery, was found. This was the potter's field that was bought for 30 pieces of silver by the priests, and the place where Judas Iscariot was buried. Very interesting. There's a lot of symbolism which is attached to that, because Jesus Christ, when he walked in Jerusalem, that very valley was a place where there was a lot of garbage dumped, and there was perpetual burning, as there is often in garbage dumps. There was perpetual burning in that valley, and Jesus Christ called that valley Gehenna. Another way it was called, as a picture of hell itself. And so the potter's house was in this valley. This was a place in Jeremiah's time where there was horrible things which were done. If you turn back in Jeremiah to the 7th chapter, Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 31, you find that this valley was also called by the name of Topheth. Just another name, the valley of Hinnom or Topheth. And in Jeremiah 7 verse 31 says, "And they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in fire, which I did not command, and it did not come into my mind. Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be called Topheth, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Topheth, because there is no other place." This was a place where human sacrifices were performed, and children were offered up to false gods. And as I say, this was a place where there was also deposits of very nice clay, which could be used for pottery. And so the potter's house was in this area, and Jeremiah goes to the potter's house to see the potter at work in this place. And obviously, I would say there is other symbolism which is present in our text. The potter had stone wheels on which he formed his vessels, his clay pots. And Jeremiah says, "I went to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel." And we have the image of the wheel whirring around as the potter is forming a vessel on that wheel. And as the potter is working the clay, a deformity appears in the piece that he's making. Now, any of you that know anything about clay know that this is very possible to happen, and often does happen. We don't know if the potter's hand slipped in this case, and therefore there was some kind of deformity on the vessel, or maybe there was a bubble in the clay. And as he begins to work the clay, this bubble emerges, and so there's a deformity in the clay, and there's a thin spot in the vessel. We don't know exactly what takes place here. The consistency of the clay might not have been good, and so it might not have been worked properly before it was put on the wheel. At any rate, the vessel is defective. And so what's the potter do? Like any kid would do when he's done with one particular piece, smashes that hunk of clay, boom, the vessel's gone, right? And he begins over. This is what the text says. Verse 4, "But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel." This is what takes place. And Jeremiah adds these telling words, "as it pleased the potter to make." Of course, that's only sensible. But he's emphasizing something here that we need to grab hold of. There's a message present in all of this. And of course, in the 5th verse, Jeremiah says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me." In this situation, as he's in the potter's house and he sees all of this taking place, Jeremiah gets the message from the Lord. And what does Jeremiah see? Jeremiah sees, first of all, God as the potter. Jeremiah sees human beings as the clay. And Jeremiah sees God in the business of remaking spoiled human vessels. God is the potter. Beyond doubt, this is the case. And of course, this is confirmed as we go down in our text. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul picks this up in Romans chapter 9, and if you want to look at it, it's found in Romans 9 and chapter or verse 20, Romans 9:20, where Paul says, "On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, 'Why did you make me this way?' will it? Or does not the potter have right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? God is sovereign." We generally find this truth repugnant. We don't like it. And you know why we don't like it? Because we want to be sovereign. We want to be in control. We would rather be calling the shots. We would rather be the one who says, "No, it ought to be this way rather than this way." But the message is, God is sovereign. God is the potter. And the second part of the message is that human beings are the clay. Now, this is really easy for us to understand. From dust we were taken, and to dust we will return. This was the message that God gave to Adam in the beginning. In the beginning, God took Adam from the dust of the ground, or He took some dust from the ground, and out of that dust He formed the man, Adam, and He breathed into him the breath of life. So we were ultimately taken from the ground. We are clay pots. Some of us understand that a little bit better than others because we've experienced injuries of different sorts, or our bodies have failed, and because we're a little bit older, the arthritis is creeping up, or the vision has diminished, and these kinds of things have taken place. I remember when I was in college and used to go to the weight room on a regular basis, I didn't think of myself as a clay pot at all. I thought I had it together and was pretty strong. And I could press a little bit and bench press a little bit. I could do that. But I'm recognizing more and more that I am fragile, easily broken, and that I am an earthen vessel. And in the end, that I really have more affinity to the earth than I do to the spiritual realm toward which God is moving me. The Bible calls Christians earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. And Paul tells us that we have treasure in earthen vessels. And when Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians, he talks about the knowledge of the glory of God which we have in these earthen vessels as the Spirit of God moves in us. The Bible also speaks about the weaker vessel. And I know I'm going to get myself into trouble here, because generally, those who are females are, generally speaking, physically not as strong as the males of the species. And this is what the Bible is talking about. I say that's generally the case because I know some gals who could take me on very easily. Generally, this is the case. And the accent is on the physical. When the Bible speaks of our being vessels, and some of us are weaker than others in different ways. We're all made differently. And so God is the potter. Human beings are the clay. And God remakes spoiled human vessels. God remakes spoiled human vessels. What a wonderful thing that is. You see, friends, the analogies do break down and the examples do break down, because part of the lesson here is that we come into the world as spoiled and soiled. We are marred. spiritually disfigured. We are damaged goods. We bear the mark of Adam's rebellion. We are rebels before God. This is the whole point of the story in Genesis, where Adam rebels against God and Adam and Eve are set outside the Garden of Eden. And God reminds Adam that he was taken from the dust, and to dust he will return. We are not basically good, therefore. I know this is not the message that some of you came here to hear. But the fact of the matter is, that is the case. Witness Rwanda. It's very interesting to me that over the past weeks and months, as we have watched the horror of Rwanda transpire before our very eyes on the television and in the news magazines, to see thousands of people slaughtered needlessly. Witness the ethnic cleansing in Bosnia. What's it all about? It's an evidence of the cruelty of humankind to its own kind. And you say, well, that's on another part of the globe. You bet it is. Just this last week, we heard the story of an 11-year-old boy in Chicago who was a murderer and who was shot in mob style as a gang member. And as I commented this morning in the college career class, in the front page of the Hutchinson News this morning is the story of a 16-year-old girl who was a cheerleader at Nickerson High School and who was cruelly murdered by another teenage girl who put a knife in her chest. The wonderful thing, folks, is this, that God remakes spoiled human vessels. Turn with me again, if you would please, to Ephesians chapter 2, where in the New Testament this is set before us. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, we can get the idea falsely that the violence is somewhere out there and not very close at hand. But I want to tell you, folks, that because of the nature of human beings, fallen human hearts, when left to their own devices, the violence oozes from the pores. Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. What was the story with every human being subject to the power of evil and a child of wrath? That's the story. Marred, fallen, disfigured, damaged vessels. And that's what Jeremiah sees in the potter's house. But then the wonderful story does not stop there, because the potter takes the lump of clay, the very same material, and remakes the vessel. Ephesians 2 again, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are His workmanship. What glory there is in those words given to us by the Holy Spirit. As Jeremiah sees the potter take that lump of clay and remake that vessel as he pleases, he sees the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4. We are His workmanship. That's what we are. And it is God's work to remake people like us. Let's go back to Jeremiah. Verses 5 and 6 in chapter 18. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does? Declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. God's application to this scene in the potter's house confirms what we have been saying. God asks Jeremiah the question, Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does? Can't I do that? Am I not the holy God? What is the answer to this question? Is it God's prerogative to take the lump of clay and remake it? You bet. Thankfully, that's the case. Israel was like clay in the potter's hand, and you too, dear friend, are like clay in the Master's hand. Despite our greatest apprehensions, God is the sovereign God, and we are His workmanship. And when I contemplate this, I'll tell you what. I am so grateful. I see myself in Korea, walking up a little hill. And I see myself turning around and going to a chaplain's office. And I see myself sitting in that little office. And I hear that chaplain again asking me the question, What are you doing here, Denny? And I hear myself answer, I don't know. And I hear those next words again coming from the lips of that chaplain. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And I hear my mind whirling and answering no. And I see that little New Testament that he takes out of his drawer once again. And I remember those Bible verses that he rehearsed. And I had no trouble admitting that I was one of those marred, broken vessels. And I remember our praying together. And I remember, my life remade. And I remember often thinking back over that and saying to myself, why did that take place? Because the sovereign God took a lump of clay in His hands and remade it. That's why it happened. And I am so glad that the sovereign God did that. When we come together next week to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we come together, dear friends, to remember God taking deformed, spoiled, damaged vessels like you and me, and remaking them. That's what we come to celebrate. We come to celebrate that Jesus Christ took to Himself a body like ours and was broken so that people like us could be remade. And we come to celebrate the work of a sovereign God who takes people like us as lumps of clay and remakes us. We come to celebrate that. And I trust that as this week transpires, you'll remember the words of Jeremiah that we are like clay in the potter's hand. And that we can be thankful to Him that that is the case.